Welcome to Area Matters, news and views from a white racialist viewpoint. I'm James Hawthorne in the main seat. Sitting alongside me is Lee Gardner.
How you doing, James?
Doing very well. Two things have come to my attention this week. David Irving in the news again, this time being charged, and looks like he's going to be spending Christmas in prison in Austria. His wife and his daughter going to miss him tremendously. This is just an absolute travesty. I believe that he shouldn't be in this situation and he should be at home in Great Britain where he belongs. The Simon Wiesenthal Center are chortling at the moment because they're saying that David Irving has had at last recanted about the Holler hoax, and that after all these many years of investigation, David Irving has come to the situation that he now truly believes that there were gas chambers in Auschwitz-Birkenau. I'm just thinking that he shouldn't be where he is right now. He was basically kidnapped on the way to a student's meeting by the Austrian police, and now sit rotting in an Austrian prison awaiting his day in court, which, just like Ernst Zundel and Gemar Rudolph, basically it doesn't look good.
No matter what he said about, or allegedly recanted about, whether or not he believes there were homicidal gas chambers, that's not really that important, because first off, I've heard he's done this before. To get out of trouble, right, to keep himself out of jail, he could just well be just saying that.
Yeah.
But the main thing is, he's not a Holocaust expert. He's not a Holocaust revisionist, right? He is a historical revisionist, and he did a lot of work on individual personalities, you know, like Hitler and Goebbels and the Dresden story and all that. But he is not a Holocaust expert, right? You don't start lying to yourself once you know the truth, right? You just don't say, okay, well, I know the truth, but I'm just going to lie to myself now. So if he does know, which I think he probably doubts it very seriously and really doesn't believe it, because he read the Fred Leuchter's report, and which says that there wasn't any. And plus, he knows as a historian, as you mentioned in the last show, that he didn't find any Führer orders. There was never anything by Adolf Hitler or anybody saying, we have this extermination policy against the Jews and the genocide, and we're going to carry this thing out. Even if he doesn't believe it, well, he could believe anything he wants, right? Like we said in the last show, why do you throw people in jail for that? Who used to do that? Well, the friggin' Jewish communist Soviets used to do this kind of stuff.
Now it's prevalent all over Europe. Jewish supremacism, Jewish extremism has developed into the higher levels of all our Aryan nations, United States and Great Britain, and in France and other European countries in the background, and not so in the background, in the United States, up front and center are the Jewish neocons. And as I said in the previous program, Lord Levy and his millions are whispering his Jewish extremist ideas into the ear of Tony Blair. So it's more prevalent today that the Jewish extremists have such a hold over our politicians. It's disturbing, and something needs to be done about it. Another point I'd like to go on to, and just like to tell everybody who listens to our show that they can listen to myself and Lee. We were special guests on a recent Goy Fire. You can go to govnn.com and you can listen to that show. How did you find that? Did you enjoy that?
Oh yeah, it was great.
Great show. I think those lads over there are pretty cool. They have it under control, as they say.
Yeah.
Unlike us sometimes. And that second point I want to go on to is about, we talked in our last program about globalization. I want your comments on the 40,000. Is it 40,000? A quarter of the General Motors workforce has just been laid off.
30,000, I think.
30,000. Well, a quarter of the workforce has just been told,
yeah,
to get in their pink slips and off you go.
Yeah. And now Toyota is the largest auto company in the world.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Toyota, Honda, and especially the Chinese one that's up and coming at the moment, will start building factories, more factories in the United States. You know, that will lower the American GDP, and it's coming, middle America, it's coming. Your days of comfort and two cars in the garage are over, are coming to an end, and a decision is going to have to be made. Do we want rampant globalization where the filth of the third world have our jobs, or are we going to stand up like goddamn white men and said, no, these are our jobs, this is our life, we're going to fight for it? Time is slowly approaching when they're going to have to make that decision.
That's right.
It's happened in United Kingdom, but as I say, the full fruition of this hasn't came about just yet, but as I said before, it's on the way, and Aryan people are going to have to make a decision real soon. Getting on to my first story of the day, we're going to Norway today. Aryan Matters is all over the map here. We're going to Norway. A story about a Simeon Savage, a 36-year-old asylum seeker from Somalia, was found guilty of raping and murdering a female student at a college in Songdal last year. But he was sentenced Friday to only 15 years in prison. And the beautiful girl who was raped and murdered was a blonde, blue-eyed girl by the name of Hedda Karustata. She was strangled to death by this savage. There's a double twist to this story. This is the reason why I chose it. Apparently, Hedda was a bit of a race mixer. Mm. In Norway, she liked her non-white boyfriends, apparently. The moral to this story, then, is if you doth race mix, you open yourselves up to get strangled by these savages.
Yeah.
They don't think like us. They have a different way of life. They don't belong in our countries, and they are raping and killing our white women at a level that is quite frightening at the moment.
Yeah, and not only that, is that they also open themselves up to AIDS and other sorts of sexually transmitted diseases, right? I think the blacks are 14 times more likely to have AIDS and HIV than a white person.
You said he was sentenced to 15 to 16 years in prison. The maximum that he could have got in Norway was 21 years. This Somali savage only gets 15 years for killing this beautiful Aryan girl, even though she did race mix. And that's one of the stories I read, that she was a race mixer. Our young people, with television and Mr. Rothstein's MTV Europe now, they are just bombarded with images of the black man is the cool rap artist who's masculine and who is fit for breeding by any good white Aryan girl.
Right.
In the meantime, white Aryan men on Mr. Rothstein's MTV Europe and generally television all over the world are portrayed as feminine, as effeminate, as gay, as wimps, as something that you wouldn't want to be around, or would want to have this white person as a partner, as the Jews are pushing this image of Aryan man as a wimp and a gay and a faggot.
Right. The culture they push on us, an MTV, which is the nigger rap culture, it's bad. Anybody who knows and pays attention to what they're saying and what they do, and all they do is talk about drugs, sex, you know, watching the ball game, and rapping and other niggers, you know. So who cares about that culture? We should not care. As a matter of fact, they talk about killing cops. Again, they're glorified. They're paid millions of dollars. They're shown on these MTV videos and in other things like motion pictures. The black guy is always a noble guy who's a doctor, right?
President.
President, right, and the mayor. And the things that, you know, that in real life, they almost never occur for real, and if you do know them, you know that they're a token, because if you know them very well, you know they're still fucking idiots. They're still stupid, you know, simian-like people who cannot live in our civilization. They cannot compete because they don't have the ability to. Now, they can run, and they can jump, and all that, but when you look at the specifics of that, you say, well, how much better are they than white people? They're not much better. I don't know what the exact number is, but like 3/10 of a second faster in the 50-yard dash. Or they can jump 6 inches higher. The difference is minimal. People should ask, well, what does that slight difference really matter? You know, that kind of slight difference is nothing compared with the fact, like this beautiful Norwegian girl here, who's probably a Viking stock, right? Probably naturally blonde, which we're getting fewer and fewer of naturally blonde girls in the world,
yep.
Females in the world nowadays.
It proves the fact that this situation is working, because I read a report somewhere that the manifestation known as the Wigger, and a large majority of these white niggers young adolescents from 13 to 19.
Yeah.
The white guys.
They have to be, because they're bombarded with it.
They're bombarded with it, yeah.
Yeah, with that music and that culture. And the other day someone told me that his mother... was worried about the boy listening to rap music, but she didn't know how to tell him. Mm. See, she was afraid to talk to him, because if she says, why are you listening to that nigger music? That's like, well, she wouldn't say that. She would say, well, you know, shouldn't you listen to other kind of music and not that music? Why? Well, because, she wouldn't say because they're black, but that's what she's thinking. And of course, you can't do that, because that's racist mm-hmm. to say that. That's evil to say, well, why don't you listen to white people's music?
Here's a funny story. A rap artist, I forgot who it was at the present time, but he went on to his stage and was absolutely dumbfounded and shocked to see the audience full of white people. All these white wiggers were there.
He shouldn't be.
You know, so even the black rappers were shocked to see the manifestation of the white wigger.
That shows how bad it is.
It's absolutely insane, and it's wrong. And only when we can wrest control of our media from the Jews, Mr. Rothstein and company, otherwise known as Sumner Redstone, and the quicker we do that, the better. Your story, Edley.
My first story is from BBC News. It says, gang guilty of white man murder. And this happened in good old England, where we are, and in Barking. It says, Asian gang members boasted they had killed a white man, and they've been found guilty of murder. This young Aryan guy called Christopher Yates was knocked to the ground and his head kicked like a football last November, the Old Bailey was told. And these guys are three Pakistanis. Pakis, as we like to refer to them over here. They're all in their 20s. And believe it or not, there was a teenage girl nearby, and she overheard what one of these Pakis said. He said, "We have killed the white man. That will teach an Englishman to interfere in Paki business." The statement from the man's family is this: "These are evil men, and people like this should not be free to roam about our streets hurting innocent people." Now, I'm glad that they left it pretty much intact, I suppose, this quote from them. And they said, "These are evil men and people like this." That's the part I would think they would say, well, we need to strip this part out.
Yeah.
Right? They say, "These are evil men and they shouldn't be allowed to roam the streets like that," period. But they said, "And people like this," which to us, it means the Pakis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what it means to these people. It might not mean that. But to me, I mean, we say, yeah, damn right, this is, you know, you're 100% right. If these Pakis were not here, their son, Christopher Yates, would still be alive today.
There are still some journalists within the Jewish media that are still, are not fully, you know, corrupted from the Jewish media. There are some journalists still in the system that are fairly disgusted at something like this and are quite prepared to risk their job and put an odd quote or two in there, you know. And if it goes out and escapes the editor or the person who has to adjust copy, then all well and good. But there are still some journalists out there that are, for the most part, still, you know, disgusted at a crime like this and are prepared to, as I say, put their job on the line to report that.
Yeah, now this shows actual anti-Aryanism. Mm-hmm. Anti-whiteness. Mm-hmm. This shows racism on the part of the Pakis. Now, the question is, are they going to charge them with inciting racial hatred?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Are they going to treat them like the BNP people?
No. You see, as we all know, people who listen to this program and people who are new to our program will know that the only racial crime that is accepted is a white person attacking a non-white person. That's the only crime that falls into the criteria of racial hatred. If these, and I saw the pictures of these three disgusting animals on the World Wide Web, and they look so cocky, they look so full of themselves.
Oh yeah,
these three savages. And they kicked this guy's head. As I said in the report, it used his head as a football. It's appalling. These people, as their numbers grow, And as the white numbers decrease, you're going to see more of this. And unlike us Aryans, who are honest, decent, good working people, we generally give other races the benefit of the doubt because we're good, caring people, being Aryans.
Right.
As the white numbers decrease and the filth from the third world appear on our doorsteps in increasing numbers, white people had better get used to this because this is going to increase.
Yeah, and I encourage you all also to look at those pictures on the BBC News report because they are ugly scum. And you look at these people and you go, what the hell are they doing in our country? They could potentially, you know, harm your children. You're absolutely right saying that the white people are generous and caring and give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that's one of our weaknesses. And you know what? The Germans were more of that than anything, because they were the first ones to enact laws against animal cruelty.
Mr. Goering, I think you'll find, was the gentleman who enacted that through the German Parliament. The first vivisection laws.
Yeah, and see, it's the exact opposite, right? The reality of what is really true is the exact opposite from what the Jewish media shows. They show the Nazis as the most evil, worst thing ever, when in actuality, it's, as far as we're concerned, and if you look at the history of it, the Germans are actually on the opposite end. They are, and the National Socialists were definitely not what they claim they are.
I call it the Alice in Wonderland theory that we are in right now. What's up is down, what's down is up. And that's what the Jews and the Jewish media and the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists, have turned our Aryan culture upside down. It's a bit like that movie The Matrix. Do you want to take the red pill or do you want to take the green pill? I think every one of us has took the red pill.
Right. Yeah, we are living in the Jewish matrix, and those of us in the white nationalist, white racialist, white racist, you know, neo-Nazi, National Socialist, anything you categorize us as, we're the ones...
The resistance,
the movement. We're offering the truth to everybody and saying, look, or as I believe that character said in that movie, he said, I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. And it's not up to us here to convince you to say, look, you've got to believe us. We're telling you, think on your own. Make up your own mind. And you will believe us. We know that.
That's a good analogy there, Lee. We are showing everyone the door. That's all we are. We're a door. We're a doorway for Aryan and white people to come to the door, to have a look at the door. But in fact, we want to walk through the door. And that's where we like to put our mentionables on our program. Everything that we say is backed up by articles and stories that's out there on the internet. But save you going now, find these stories. We, through our conversations here in our programs, we put up our mentionables for you to go and see what we are talking about and read those articles and get yourself fully informed about what the heck's going on here. Because we need white people in increasing numbers to come to our cause and to come to the resistance.
That's right.
Next story, speaking of National Socialists, this caught my attention. A slogan for German feel-good campaign was used by the National Socialists. And the organisers of a 30 million euro, £20 million mass media campaign designed to make Germans feel good about themselves were suffering acute embarrassment yesterday after it emerged that Adolf Hitler's Nazi party had got there first.
Uh-huh.
And the slogan, Du bist Deutschland, meaning you are Germany. And this was a feel-good campaign by the German government to make the German people feel better about themselves. After 60-odd years of Jewish media on the good German people making them feel horrible about themselves, the German government have come to the realization that the German people need to feel better about themselves. And this was the slogan that came up. You are Germany. Du bist Deutschland, don't ask what others can do for you, insists Katharina Witt, the Olympic ice skating champion. In one television spot, she said with pride, you are the others, you are Germany. But yesterday he admits that the National Socialist had coined exactly the same slogan more than 70 years ago. Gosh, horror shock. Yeah. A photograph taken in the town of Ludwigshafen in 1934 shows a giant portrait of Adolf Hitler supported by an equally large slogan depicting, believe it or not, Du bist Deutschland. Organizers were not exactly enthused by the discovery, and they were backtracking really quickly. One individual said, "Our campaign utterly condemns National Socialism, racism, and all forms of neo-Nazi activity. Every time I see the Du bist Deutschland on slogan on television, I am reminded of the Nazi photograph," said Stefan Moors. Could be a Jew, we don't know. The Nazi area photograph has since found its way onto several internet blogs. And when I read this, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. It just proves that, you know, once again, the National Socialists were first.
Yeah, they were first, and they were right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important, that the German people really do need to get out of this whole guilt trip and shame, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. If anything, they should be proud of. There's nothing to compare with the government, the ideology of National Socialism, and that was their most triumphant and best thing that any people have ever offered to the entire world. If the entire world knew and followed National Socialism and Mein Kampf, everything would be fine. There would be almost no conflicts or wars at all, because it is the ultimate solution. And even back in history, there are so many examples of how the Germans are a great people. They were called the Defenders of Europe. And the reason they were called that for many years is because they stopped the friggin' Huns from, you know, the Mongols and Huns, they stopped them from overtaking Europe way mm-hmm. back when. They were the people that got together and said, "Hey, let's stop this before we're overtaken." And then there's one thing Americans and English children and everybody are taught, which is untrue. They say the slogan from Third Reich, which is Deutschland über alles. They say that shows that the Germans were trying to take over the world. It means Deutschland over alles, you know, which means Germany over everybody. But that's not what it meant. It basically meant the same thing as what Charles Lindbergh's party was, which is America First. It meant Germany first, which means that the Germans should put Germany ahead of themselves, right? So not this whole individualism, capitalism, Jewish capitalism, right, where everybody's in conflict, class conflict, in their own country. All it meant was put the good of Germany ahead of your own individual desires.
Mm-hmm. The funny part about this story was the German government didn't even know. And we put this commercial on the television. You can imagine the shock, horror, gasp of some Jew sitting there in Berlin going, "Ah, Gewaltefisch! What the hell is that?
Hey, what the hell is 6 million off already?
What the hell is that doing on
but
there?"
But you know, this is good if it really got on television and everybody knows it and they go, "We're going to renege now. We're going to take this back and say, the Nazis used that, so we can't use it." Everybody who saw that should stop and go, "Wait, if what they said is all right, why can't we still use it? I mean, we agree with it. Why can't we use it?" And they should ask themselves, what else did they think?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were right about that, they could be right about a lot of things.
After 60 or 70 years of Jewish media poured like treacle over the German people by the Jews, they should ask themselves, why are they frightened of all this stuff? That's the reason. It's 60, 70 years of pressure from the Jews.
Absolutely.
The Jewish establishment, the Jewish media, everything.
Everything.
Your next story, Lee, please.
Next story is, in Okinawa, an airman was sentenced for molesting a 10-year-old girl. This is from the Pacific Stars and Stripes. And Stars and Stripes, for people that don't know, is the newspaper for the United States military. And that says something in itself right there, because anybody who thinks there's no such thing as a propaganda pushing people to support certain agendas, they don't know. Everyone uses propaganda, and all the propaganda means is to persuade someone to your point of view. There's nothing in that statement about propaganda, whether it's true or false. People think that the word propaganda equals lies, equals untruth. That's not true. That's not true in itself. Just that little twisting of what propaganda means has, again, just like you said, with the Jewish propaganda over the 60 years, that's where it's come from. It's saying that if Goebbels' title was Minister of Propaganda and National Enlightenment, okay, in his title it said propaganda. All the Germans knew his title was propaganda. Now, are they sitting there going, his title's propaganda, which means he's going to lie to us? Because in his title it says propaganda, so he's going to be lying. No, they didn't think that, because that's not what propaganda means.
It's been twisted by the Jews, that
it's
word.
It's been twisted by the Jews. And everything that you see, all advertisements, commercials, to sell anything, a Big Mac or anything, it doesn't matter. It's all propaganda. They're trying to persuade you in a certain direction. And, of course, we're going to tell you, guess what? That's what we're doing here. We are giving you National Socialist propaganda, white nationalist propaganda, if that's what you want to call it. That's fine. The point is, all this propaganda, whether or not, you know, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, we say, whatever that propaganda is, go find it, search for yourself, is it true? Find out what's true and what's a lie.
Mm-hmm. And as we all know, we're no weapons of mass destruction.
No. So there's an example of how the United States used propaganda. And of course, they'll deny it and say, well, no, it was a mistake. We believe that they're intentionally lying about it.
Yeah, totally lying. The word no in Iraq, the word no weapons, as everyone now knows, the word no weapons of mass destruction. And one of the greatest nations the planet has ever seen, under pressure from Jewish neocons in Washington, pushed this great nation, the United States, into a suicidal war with a country that at one point the United States and Great Britain were on friendly terms with.
Yeah, and I believe that idiot Bush, he actually made up his own mind and did it on his own. But where did he get the information from? He got it from the Office of Special Plans, which was that Jewish neocon front in the CIA who just manufactured the so-called intelligence about Iraq. Anyway, this story says...
Just before you go on to that, I just want to make a quick comment on that. Everything that we've read from the Jewish media, and unfortunately some people on our camp have fell into this little lie that's been floated around by the Jews that the war for Iraq was for oil. Now, if you look at all the facts about what happened with Iraq and this current situation, this current nightmare where our Aryan boys and girls are being killed, you will find that this was not a war for oil at all. This was a war for one thing and one thing only, to secure Israel.
Right.
And if the United States rolls its M1 tanks into Syria, as far as I understand it, Syria doesn't have all that much oil, so that that would blow that one out the water.
Right. If it was for oil, if, you know, again, like you said, this is a Jewish lie saying that it's for oil, and what they're trying to say is that the communists. Now, see, it is all Jewish because some of it is still people who believe in communist Marxist ideology, and they will say that the problem is still these corporate millionaires, when the fact is that all these statements from the oil companies were against invading Iraq, because anything over there which can destroy and cause chaos and disorder in their supply of oil is a problem. They didn't want that, because what they want over there is they want stability. And also, if it was for oil, why did we invade Mexico?
Exactly. Or Venezuela.
Or Venezuela, one of these countries closer by.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if it was really just for that, they would do that. Now, the problem is like these Jews, like the guy that did Fahrenheit 9/11,
Michael Moore.
Uh-huh. He's a Jew, and he shows all this in the movie about the oil guys and how evil white people are, like Cheney, which by the way, I can't stand that guy either, and Bush and other people, Rumsfeld. But what he does not mention in there at all is what is Israel or
mm-hmm.
Jews. There's mm-hmm. For some reason, Fahrenheit 9/11, which has 9/11 in the title, September 11th, has no talk about, well, they attacked us because of our support for Israel, uh-huh. which is what Bin Laden said. And here, you know, this Jew, Michael Moore, again, is blaming it on the wealthy
uh-huh.
and saying how they're racist and they send all these non-white soldiers off to Iraq to die for white men and white causes and greedy multimillionaire white men, you know, the WASP, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. He's the problem. Again, anything that says the white male is the problem is probably Jewish Marxist propaganda.
And speaking on that propaganda, a friend of mine sent me a link to the Frontline program that just appeared on PBS in the United States, and this is one of my favorite programs that I like to watch online since I'm not in the country. And this thing was absolutely blew my mind. If you want to look at this program, I urge everyone to go and see this program. It was about Hurricane Katrina, and even now the Jewish spin has started on Katrina. On this program, it'll blow you away. Fellow white racialists, it will blow you away. Watch the program, go to Frontline, and you will see that Hurricane Katrina and the savagery, the wanton African savagery that we all witnessed in the Nigger Dome, where a white woman were raped and one was murdered, had a throat slashed and was thrown into a freezer. My friends, ladies and gentlemen, that program shows and proves to us all the white people were responsible.
Oh, God.
The spin has started.
Yeah.
And the black mare, I forgot what his name was at the moment, but this black mare comes across in this program as not an abject failure as he was at the time, but now a hero.
Oh, my God.
A hero of New
That's
Orleans.
That's the thing, because anybody who did the least amount of investigation or reading of that stuff knows that he was a big part of the problem. Him and his low IQ, probably crack smoking ass. they had set up this one thing. For example, I heard that they had planned and set up that all these school buses could be used to evacuate the niggers from the swamps. And guess what?
They just sat there.
They just sat there, and that was that nigger's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, don't give me any Jewish bullshit.
The spin has started, my friends.
Don't give me any Jewish spin. Just give me the truth straight up. You know, that's bullshit.
The continuation of your story?
All right, the story, it says Okinawa airman sentenced for molesting 10-year-old girl. And his name is Air Force Staff Sergeant Armando Valdez.
You're good.
Right, so they would think he's an American. He's an American military man, so he's an American. He's from the United States. And what he really is some goddamn spick.
Spickoid.
Yeah. So, okay, now he gives us all a bad name over there in Okinawa. Okay, Okinawa is a part of Japan, which is a series of islands off the southwest of Japan. And most people don't know this, but after the end of World War II, again, World War II being such a crucial point in fucking up, you know, white Aryan culture everywhere, at the end of World War II, the United States controlled Okinawa, and they left, and they still have troops there. I think the number is something like 15,000 Marines or something like that are in Okinawa and
uh-huh.
have been there for all this time. Think about that. Again, 60 years, just like in all the other countries after World War II, where the Allies won. We're supposed to be this great freedom, peace-loving thing, this liberating the people, like setting them free to run themselves under democracy and stuff. And what we do is we stay there. Our military stays there and makes sure they don't get out of line, which is basically meaning whatever the United States wants. And of course, as we know, the string pullers in the United States and other countries like Great Britain are Jew, so it's whatever.
I would call it dictum by the Jew.
Yeah.
D of J, dictum of the Jew.
And it says that the sergeant was sentenced to Thursday to 18 months of hard labor, suspended for 4 years for molesting a 10-year-old Okinawa girl in July. The offense was compounded, Yokata said, by also taking photographs of several other young girls, which showed his interest in young girls was of a sexual nature. The impact this act by a member of the American military had on the community cannot be ignored. It says, he said Valdez should go to prison to deter other U.S. service members. Again, it's very clear there that they think, in this article anyway, in the Stars and Stripes, which again is a pro U.S. military, no matter what. They bring up these articles, but it's been cleansed. Now, one thing this reminds me of is Jared Taylor. He is very intelligent. He speaks fluent Japanese, and he also speaks fluent French, and I don't know how many other languages. But he lived over there, and he gave a talk once in one of his pro-white speeches or lectures. He gave a talk once, and afterward, he realized, and I think he actually spoke to some of these guys who were Japanese or Okinawan. They could have been, you know, anything like that. And they weren't surprised at all at what he was saying about the races not being equal, you know, blacks committing more crime. They weren't surprised at all. Japanese consider that like a matter of fact, you know, thing of life. It's common sense. to Japanese that the niggers, the Africans, are simply stupid IQ, I mean low IQ, violent people. They actually got pissed off before. And again, I think this is another article by Jared Taylor, because American servicemen in Japan, same thing as this story. Years ago,
these niggers were
raping and killing people.
A few years ago. Right?
And they do that all the time.
Black students.
And Japanese authorities were all pissed off. I think they were going to lynch the guy. You know, if they had their way, they should have lynched him. And they were asking the question, why the hell is the U.S. military in our country? And not only that, they're bringing these violent, stupid niggers here.
Well, here's a question for you. Why hasn't the Jews pushed this utopian, multicultural, multiracial nightmare on Japan? I'll tell you why. Because Japanese are not Aryans, and the Jews want the extermination of the Aryan race, i.e. us, and that's the reason why the Jews in the United States and Europe are pushing the flood of Neanderthal, simian, subhumans onto us.
The cavemen.
They want the Aryan man gone.
Yes.
That's the reason why there's no multicultural enforced nightmare in Japan.
Yes.
And also China, too.
Yes, they said that as a natural extension to their communist plot and planning. In the United States, there's mainly a big middle class. So there is no big strife between the upper class aristocrats, right? We didn't have aristocrats like they did in Russia. So they said, we'll use the niggers to help destroy American culture. That's what they did, and that's what they planned. And, you know, the Japanese, they have a love-hate relationship with the United States and any Aryans, really. They have a love-hate relationship with us. One is they respect us a lot and admire us for what we can do. And they are really honest about stuff. They don't have any guilt or qualms about, you know, just saying the facts, saying the truth about anything. But they hate us at the same time because we impose all these things on them. And, of course, we bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima for really no good reason, because the emperor of China, of Japan had already pleaded for terms of surrender for months before we actually went and bombed their ass. Unfortunately, what they've started to do, I notice, is that in their anime, you know, Japanese animation, this Japanese cartoons that they make, they started to adopt our nigger culture because they think that we like it, right? So they're having now, in these cartoons,
wow,
rap music ditties and, you know, nigger, you know, music in there. That, and unfortunately, they're getting corrupted, even though they might be doing it to themselves. You know, I don't know for sure, but I doubt there's any Jew over there running their media. I think that they would just kind of soak up, again, because they admire us and respect us, they kind of soak that up, saying, well, look how great they are. They've got this multicultural thing, and guess what? They push all this rap music, soul music, hip-hop crap. That must mean it's good, which it's not good.
The Japanese are a great nation of copiers. They like to copy our technology, our way of life, our Aryan lifestyle. There's a park in Japan, in Tokyo, I forgot what the park's called, but you can go there and you can see all these people, all these young Tokyoans dressed in Elvis Presley, the leather jackets, like you're being dropped into the 1950s. And these people, you know, these young people are just aping our culture.
Right.
Because I don't think the Japanese, for the most part, even though they are historically an ancient culture, Japan.
Yeah.
But in recent times, they have this this wanton thing to copy Aryan lifestyles and Aryan culture.
Yeah, and there's always a fringe kind of strange group that does, like, latches on to Elvis.
Hey, but tell them,
or whatever else.
In Japan, they do have a national socialist party.
They have a national socialist party, and we'd like to get in contact with them, and just like all of our national socialist brethren around the world and sisters, we'd like to keep, you know, everybody together and create one national socialist world. The Japanese did have a great culture, and they independently came up with their samurai and all this stuff, which is very similar to our knights. They had the same as our medieval knights of old. They had lived by the same code and ethics as these guys. You know, truth, honor, loyalty, all these things, which we think are idealistic and very important and honorable. That's the way they were, and we helped to change their culture. You know, well, they did it on their own again, because they agreed to let it happen with, I think it was Commodore Perry was the first one to start introducing more Western ways. That's why they wear shirts with cuffs and blue jean pants and everything. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Otherwise, they'd still be wearing, you know, kimonos and silk material a lot more. They picked up these Western ways. They had their own style and stuff, and what'd you have? Contrast that to the fucking niggers everywhere in Africa running around naked, you know, not even inventing a hat.
But I'll tell you, for the reason why that you will not see mass immigration into Japan is because the Japanese have not been targeted for extermination by the Jews that the Aryan race has. That's the reason why this multiracial nightmare is being placed on Aryan lands, is because the people behind it are the Jews, and they want us out the way.
Right. Ultimately, we are in their way and taking over the entire world, right? The Japs, the great people that they are, they will not stop the Jews from taking over the world and actually controlling it and making it a global slave plantation. They won't do that. We will. We could.
We should, and we would.
I hope we do.
And the Japanese National Socialist Party is the National Socialist Japanese Workers' Party, if I'm quite correct, and we'll put that link in the mentionables for you. They had a big demonstration when a good friend, Gerhard Lauck, was in Germany for 5 years, imprisoned unjustly for his propaganda efforts to free Germany of the Jewish yoke.
Yep.
And they had a demonstration outside the American Embassy at the time. I think we are now in the round table section of Area Matters, and there's two things I would like to just briefly discuss. Apparently Dr. Fields' newspaper, The Truth at Last, has had a makeover, and you've been able to peruse the copy. What did you think of it so far?
It looks good. It looks
from
a lot better.
Old to new. Yeah, does it look good?
Yeah, it's just basically a formatting change.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, more professional.
More professional?
Yes, very good.
And also, we'd like to give a plug for a new newspaper out on the streets right now, causing a bit of kerfuffle, I understand, in the United States. The Aryan Alternative, by our good friends over at VNN. Alex Linder is the editor. Have you had a chance to view that one either?
Yeah.
And what does that one look like?
It's good.
That one's good.
It's good because I think
the front page was really great.
Savages in the Streets.
Savages in the Streets.
Yeah, was
Katrina.
The title on the last one. And, you know, that's shocking, right? To the average American, they because they're, like you said, they're programmed with all this Jewish propaganda and Marxist thought about racial equality, that they see that and they're shocked. They're horrified that someone could say that. How could you call them savages, you horrible racist?
But I think the reaction on any good Aryan newspaper is if you want to get a reaction.
Yeah.
You want to get our people to wake the flip up.
Yeah, like Rockwell said, you can't get anybody into action until you get them emotional. Right, so you've got to evoke emotions out of people to get them to act. That's what the best propaganda does. Some people might say, well, that's bad, that's a horrible thing to do. Well, it's not anything different than the emotions the Jews try to invoke about the evil Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they demonize us by invoking these emotions and feelings of guilt and persecution and hate and all that. They invoke those same emotions against the Germans and the evil Nazis, the so-called evil Nazis. I mean, there's nothing wrong with using emotions, but we've got to give people the truth. And so it's the hard truth. It's the hard-edged truth. We know the blacks are savages, and we're going to tell you about it and remind you of it until it actually sinks in.
And as I say, you go to that frontline program on PBS that I saw, and you will see the big spin in motion, and what white people are being blamed for the wanton nightmare that was Mad Max in the 21st century. That's what, as we all saw Katrina, that's what that was. When society breaks down,
yeah.
When white people, when Aryan people are looking after each other and trying to help each other, what does the savage African do? No, he's not going round there looking for food, you know, and he's looting sneakers and plasma TVs,
right?
Heineken beer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and raping and killing.
Raping and killing our people.
African nature, nigger by nature.
Nigger by nature. You can, old saying, you can take the nigger out the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out the nigger.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely right. And so these two newspapers would fall into our criteria of white media.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer of getting the message out on the streets. Get up from behind the keyboard, everybody. It's a great fun out on the streets.
Yeah.
Putting out literature.
Yeah, we don't need these cyberspace warriors, you know, always on these forums talking this great line. Talking the talk and not going to a single demonstration.
Not walking the walk.
You've got to go to rallies, people. Nothing bad is going to happen. You've got to subscribe to things and use your real name. Nothing bad is going to happen. People that are afraid of our government. And all this proves to me is when they are afraid, hey, the government will find out I'm on this list. I'm a member of, Billy Roper's White Revolution or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That proves that they're living under tyranny. If they're afraid of their own government, they should stop and think, why the hell am I afraid of that? We've got to change that. We've got to have a government that I'm not afraid of.
You've got to stand up like good Aryan white men and women and stand up and fight this. Because if you don't stand up and fight it, these Jewish extremists will take over, my friends.
They will. There's always two levels of warfare, and there's only two levels of warfare. Either psychological warfare or physical warfare. That's it. And the Jews always start off by psychological warfare. And they've been doing it. That's what all this propaganda is we are all of us are veterans of psychic wars, you know, like that old great Blue Oyster Cult song.
Psyops.
All of us are, it's psyops. All of us are.
And as a new term I've just thought of, Jewish psyops.
Yeah, it's probably a book, you know. You'll probably find that. Somebody's probably written a book or an essay titled that, and guess what? The masses of people don't know about it. American white people, Aryan people, English people, Aryan people, everywhere, they don't know about it. Because anything like that is anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
That's hate, and it's got to be wrong. And it's going to lead to genocide, which that is the programming. That's the psychological warfare, you know, part of the programming they've got into us.
Mm-hmm. And the good thing about newspapers as part of our white media is when they are placed on a person's doorstep in the United Kingdom or a person's driveway in the United States, it's a bit more, apart from the fact there's more information than in a leaflet or a flyer, people can, if they choose to take that into the house and read it, like the Aryan Alternative, I don't know how many pages The Truth at Last has, 16 or so pages.
Yeah.
People can sit down in the comfort of their home and they can read. They can read the truth.
Yeah, and it is better, again, than the internet. Even that is better than the internet. Because you know why? Because it's right there on them, in front of them, in their face. So that's one level. Newspapers are one level less, or flyers are one level less than the radio. And the radio is one less than television.
Television, yeah.
Right? Once you've got television, and of course if you have satellite broadcast, you have everything you need to bring the true media and the truth to our people and to get a change occurring.
If there's any billionaire out there who hears this broadcast who can hand over a few hundred million to us, we'd like to put up a radio station, a satellite network. If that horrible organization which is corrupting our people, TBN, can do it, I reckon we can do it too.
Yeah, well, actually, they don't even have to give us any money. If they want to, some billionaire out there, if they want to launch, you know, get a satellite launched themselves. Hell, the Japanese will launch it for them. You know, go pay the Japanese to put up, like you said, a satellite to broadcast radio for us. And we'll be host on it, and we'll have everybody that we can have host on it. You know, VNN, Kevin Strom, everybody, David Duke, everybody that we can get on there.
Yeah. Could you imagine the absolute uproar from the Jewish media if that came about?
Yeah.
They would absolutely go ape, pardon the pun.
Yeah, I mean, Russia or Japan, I bet they could do that. They could put up a satellite that we could use for that purpose.
But we're firm believers on this program, and we have to build our white media, our Aryan media. We've got to get out there, spread the word, spread the message. Our people are out there hungering for this information. Our people are being lied to for 60 or 70 years, and it's time, you know, the white man fought back, and we're trying every little bit, fighting back. The internet has helped us an awful lot, but as we all know, if we don't have our infrastructures out on the street, our rallies, our continual rallies, our newspaper distribution, our flyer and leaflet distribution, if we don't have that, if the Jews decide to find a way to take the internet from us, then we will be stuck.
Yeah, we'll be in a bad way. You had a great idea one time about how that some kind of umbrella organization that we should get before the Jews are able to cut off the internet.
Yeah, and I just thought of this. There's no way that the myriad of white nationalist organizations, especially in the United States, are going to be able to come together under one organization and one leader. So I thought, how can we get around this? And I thought of this umbrella organization. Say you could call it the White Front or whatever, you know, whatever name. It has to be a striking name. But you could have all the myriad of organizations as they are now stay the same under the same leadership. But then you could have this umbrella where, like, if a Katrina happens, or, you know, the savages in the streets appear again, which they will, everyone could stop just putting out flyers saying, you know, that the White Front is here for white people, you know. Still have your own individual organization's postbox numbers, and people could inquire, and there they would join your particular organization. But what I found when I watched, especially Katrina, and the wanton savagery that was going on there, the white nationalist movement was lacking. If four or five organizations had have gone in there, it would have sent a mixed message to the white people. So all I'm trying to do is to have a focal point.
In Katrina, there could have been a group of skinheads going in there, you know, 20 or 30 or so, going in there and actually protecting white people in the Nigger Dome. They could have done that, and the white people would have known it, recognized it, and then thought, hey, you know what, these guys aren't too bad. But the problem is, you know, do they exist around there? I mean, maybe there's KKK and all these guys, but were they organized? What happened? They're probably smart enough to leave the goddamn city because the hurricane was coming. But the poor problem is, I think a lot of those people that got injured were tourists, right from Australia and Britain and other places in the United States. They didn't know any better. They were kind of stuck there. So again, who was looking out for those white people? Yeah, they look after each other.
They look after themselves, yeah.
But they need to know that they did that out of racial solidarity, and they need to say, hey, what else? You know, look, this is not our country anymore. We've got these fucking savages here. Why are they here? If we're scared of these savages, they shouldn't be here.
Exactly. And but they'll go back into their lives, and once again, the Jewish media will pour over them. And well, those people that were involved in the Thunderdome, these were students from Manchester, here in the UK. The lads just got the girls in the middle and surrounded, and you just sat in a circle with the girls in the middle, because these crack smoking apes were let loose.
Yeah, they were doing everything there, right? They were smoking crack, smoking marijuana, they were shitting wherever they could, pissing wherever they could, you know. So the guys that went in there, I heard that after it was all over, the guys that went in there to clean the dome up, they were puking. They were throwing up because it was so disgusting. You know, how these niggers... And that's how they live.
Yeah, the savages.
Yeah. They're stupid, ignorant, violent people.
Stupid, silly,
ugly
simians. That's what they are. And they shouldn't be in our Aryan countries. They need to be back where they belong in Africa.
Yeah. And to back up on what you said about, again, this umbrella organization, this white front, we need that, because the Jews are ticking away trying to get the internet taken away from us. Mm-hmm. The Jews are working on getting the internet taken away from us. And what we can do then is, if we can contact all of our people, at least leaders of organizations that you know, they can contact their people that they know are in these white nationalist organizations already, we can say, guess what, we've got this pirate server. You know, you can still access us on the internet. It's in this pirate server down in Mexico or somewhere, you know, offshore. You just have to go to this address, and then it'll last for, like, you know, a month or so before the Jews find out about it, and then we, you know, they have to move it and find it somewhere else.
Well,
we'd be doing that kind of a thing too, I would think, because it turned into a real underground. I mean, just like Turner Diaries, it will turn into a real underground of white people trying to, you know, get their countries back.
Mm-hmm. And as I say, at the moment, because there is a myriad of different white nationalist organizations out there, I'm confused and I'm involved in this movement. I'm confused. And if I'm confused, how do you think our Aryan people are? They must be utterly confused.
They don't have a clue.
No clue at all.
Yeah.
It would be good if one organization, especially in the United States, would come to the fore and became strong. But as we witness with the National Alliance, unfortunately, once the great Dr. Pierce died, the whole organization fell apart.
Right. We don't have a leader. And unfortunately, John Tyndall has passed on.
Mr. Tyndall died, yeah.
He was a great leader. So, yeah, we're at a dearth. We're in a lack of leadership now.
In Europe here at the moment, I mean, luckily, as I mentioned on the Goyfire program, all Aryan countries at the moment have strong nationalist political organizations, and the people in those countries know that those organizations exist. So as time moves on and the savagery and these Pakis who used that Aryan lad's head as a football killed him, as this wanton savagery in our lands continues on and on and on, these organizations are in place, and when the time comes, millions are going to flock to them.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, and achieve power and change things for the good. The United States needs to get with the program, and the fact of the intestine warfare between the leaderships of all these varying groups, you know, it's detracting and it's stopping the white nationalist movements in the United States growing.
Yeah, it's just harmful and destructive. I mean, there's no cause in it. Everybody should cooperate. And that's the National Socialist spirit is cooperation, you know.
Yeah, cooperate as best you can. You know, we're not going to all agree on 100% of everything.
Right.
But we can agree that the white Aryan people in the United States and in Europe are being clued in for extermination by the Jewish extremists, by the Jewish race.
Right.
They want us out. So if we can just have some cooperation, I mean, they had that great rally in Kingston just recently that was done by the Hal Turner that proved that we can cooperate together.
Yeah.
And that rally was a success. You know, it could have had a lot more people there on our side, but the fact that the rally went ahead and it was a successful rally proves that we can cooperate together.
And we should. And anybody who does not want to and says we are not going to cooperate with the other groups, they are not a good leader to follow.
No.
And you should advise them strongly and get everybody you can and say, look, this guy, he's telling us not to cooperate with them. So let's tell him he better stop doing that and start cooperating. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to go somewhere else. That's our recommendation.
Leaders in our cause, in our movement, will change their minds and they will change their actions if there is a ground force of opinion from the rank and file members.
Yeah, right.
These leaders will shift real quickly.
Right.
Once they get the feeling of them that their membership is not really happy with what they're doing.
Right.
And, well, I just want to say, Lee, thanks for another great show today. We discovered a lot of points and some good information was put out, once again, by Area Matters. If you have any questions, go to our email address, askaneonazi@yahoo.com. For the next time, please come back to us at areamatters.com. Myself, I am James Hawthorne. My co-host is Lee Gardner. He will say good luck and goodbye.
Thanks, everybody, and hope to see you next time at 88.
88, everybody. Bye-bye.